This morning's scripture reading comes from Acts 20, 6 through 7. Acts 20, verses 6 through 7. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight.
Good morning. Certainly good to see each and every one here this beautiful Lord's Day. We are blessed every Lord's Day to have the opportunity to assemble with the saints, to put first things first, to have the opportunity to worship and praise Almighty God in spirit and in truth. And it's such a delight to have this opportunity this day. But an added joy, we have so many visitors in our midst. Some are returning again this week, and we're grateful and thankful for your presence. For regular members, you know that my folks are in town, so keep good comments. I appreciate that. We have had a number of lessons, and for those who are visiting with us on Sunday morning, I like to do a fill-in-the-blank outline, and they're usually right outside the door here. But we've got some members here ready to pass those out. If you would like a copy, you do not have one, just raise your hand, and we will get a copy of that outline to you. As I will say this, as it was said last week, that if it is a tool that can be helpful to you in our study, then by all means use it. If it is in any way distractive, set it aside, and we'll be happy to fill in those blanks after services. The title of the lesson this morning is You Should Have Seen What Happened. And only those men who have taken part of a leadership position leading the congregation in worship can truly appreciate this statement. But sometimes the view from the pulpit is often interesting. You know, we have most people nowadays, they're so used to unresponsive television and computer screens that oftentimes when they come to church services, they fail to realize that, you know, the preacher can see them. You know, and it's just that way. And the thing about it is after a while, the unexpected becomes commonplace. And speakers, preachers somehow develop the ability to be able to keep their composure, though the walls come tumbling down sometimes. But sometimes we fail in that effort. But you know, when Christians gather together for worship on the Lord's Day, something special happens. Something special happens, and absolutely it is the case that our common bond is strengthened as in unison, as a collective body. We have opportunity to praise and glorify and thank God for all that He has done, is doing, and will do, and also to reflect and think about and to thank our great God and Savior Jesus Christ for all that He has done and is doing for us. And certainly that bond strengthens as together we have opportunity to worship. But when we gather, yeah, it is a time for worship. This is a time certainly for us to rejoice. It is a time for us to have a self-examination. You know, we want to listen to the message, verify its validity, that it comes from God's Word, and to apply it to ourselves. Certainly so a time of self-examination. And it's also a time for us to have fellowship, not only with one another here on earth, but certainly to have and enjoy this fellowship as John was speaking about in 1 John chapter 1, beginning there in verse 5 and going through chapter 2 and in verse 2, this fellowship that we have with heaven above. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What a joy and delight. You know what this experience is this morning? This is the beginning of the week. This is the week's beginning. This is the first day of the week. And this, what we're doing today, is this week's highlight. Nothing else that we do in the next 6 days is going to equal this. To have opportunity to worship God with God's people. And when you think about that, that's where Acts chapter 20 verses 6 and 7 is really kind of telling us. Is that's why Paul delayed his journey so that he could worship the Lord on the Lord's day with the Lord's people. Acts chapter 20 verses 6 and 7. This past Lord's Day, you know, when we think about the assemblies, everything is always the same, but yet different. People of all ages come. People of all ages. You can see in this assembly, we have people of all ages. And it is such a delight. We have individuals who have come from different places, different age groups, but they all come to express a common love. A common love to an uncommon God. There is none like Him. We have that opportunity here this morning, and each has come, and God willing, we've come with a universal thirst for the eternal truth of God's Word, John 17:17. And you know, while worship is formal, there's a lot of formalities to it. It's not cold. And while the worship is congregational, it's not impersonal. It is in spirit. John 4 and verse 24. And you know what that means? Yeah, we're talking about attitudes. What attitudes? You know what it talks about? Is personalities are involved. Personalities are involved in our worship service to God this day. Personalities are involved every time we gather together for church services, whether it's Bible class or worship service. Personalities are involved. And you know what that means? It makes things interesting. So sometimes the view from behind the pulpit is quite interesting. You should have seen what happened last week. That's really kind of the idea. And as I say that, I'll say it again in the conclusion if the good Lord wills, but not the things that I speak and share with you this morning, not that they all happened last week, but they could have. And some of them might have. But you should have seen what happened. What happened? A baby cried. A baby cried. And you know, some people, they may frown when a baby cries during church services, but you know what? Most of us smile. We smile. And I know that parents often, they recognize the need to take their child out so as not to disturb other people, but we don't want these individuals, we don't want these parents to feel self-conscious. We don't want you to feel self-conscious. Why? Because, friends, we're glad it happens. We're glad it happens. Some of the greatest joys that I have, in addition just to the worship itself, is listening to the singing, and sometimes the young kids will belt out the lyrics of the songs. And you can't help but to smile when that happens. It brings great joy when you hear those young ones singing. But we're glad that it happens. What if no baby had cried Sunday? What if no baby had cried Sunday? You know what it would have meant? It would have meant one of two things. It would have meant that maybe perhaps there are no babies here. Why do you say that? Because all babies cry. All babies cry. And no congregation wants to be that quiet. You know, a tomb is quieter than a nursery, yes, but who wants to go worship in a cemetery? You know what I'm saying? And so it could be said that a congregation without children is a congregation with its best days behind them and not ahead. If no babies had cried Sunday, you know what it could mean? It could mean that parents no longer see the need to train the next generation in the Lord's way, Ephesians 6 and in verse 4. You know, parents should, they should want their children to start learning about God their very first Sunday on planet Earth. But if that's not possible, and I understand that it's not always possible, as soon as it is possible, what is the goal is no child should ever, if we do things right, no child should ever remember their first worship. Because they would have been there long before they could remember. But you know what? If what was best is no longer possible, if the children have grown up and they're out of the house and that's no longer possible, you know what is best? What is best is to start coming and to keep coming. We can't erase the past, but we can learn from it. We can improve upon the past. So maybe what was best is past, but what is best is here. You know what? Last Sunday, when babies cried, we understand that eventually they'll learn to be quiet, but for now we're just glad to hear them. Last Sunday, a sister left early for work. She left early for work. You know, in an ideal world, in a perfect world, all businesses would be closed on the Lord's Day, just like they are at Chick-fil-A. But this doesn't happen today. If businesses, all businesses closed on the Lord's Day, individuals would have opportunity to go and exalt God in worship and in praise and in glory, Psalm 34 and in verse 3. But it will be that way in heaven. And what I mean by that is, no, not in the business world or anything closed on the Lord's Day. No, it's going to be an ideal world. It's going to be the perfect world. It's not like that here on earth, no. But it's going to be perfect in heaven above. Christians are sometimes here on earth that we're forced to make decisions. And not all decisions are easy decisions, but I can tell you this, not any decision is a light decision. Every decision puts you on a path that goes into a direction. And that direction will lead to a destiny. Whether it's an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. So make your decisions wisely. But here is a sister who had to be at work before the services ended. She saw her work schedule and she knew that she was going to have to be at work before church services ended. So what to do? Well, she could have skipped the service. She could have skipped it altogether and just told people, you know, she had to work. She could have been able to just sleep in a little bit, had a little bit of time to get ready, left in time to avoid traffic, maybe even get a bite before her shift opens and began. She could have done that. But she chose rather to get up early. She chose to get up early and to get dressed, to be in Bible class, to sing God some songs and to open her heart to Him in prayer and to thank Him for Christ's sacrifice as she partook of the Lord's Supper and also to give back to the Lord a little of her paycheck last week and to listen to God's Word. That's what she chose to do. And knowing that she was going to have to leave before services ended, she sat toward the back so as not to disturb individuals when she left. But here's the thing. Few people saw her lesson, her sermon on priorities. Few people saw her sermon on priorities. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew 6:33. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 says, "If then you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, setting your mind on things above and not on things on the earth." Few people saw her sermon on priorities, but the preacher did. But more importantly, Almighty God did. And people were encouraged. The preacher was encouraged. And God was praised by her decision. You know, in services last week, pages ruffled. I know we live in a digital age, and I know that most of our Bibles are on our smartphones or on tablets. But how is that going to help me make this lesson? Whether you're flipping and clicking or flipping pages and turning, the same thing as your pages are rustling, right? Pages are rustling as the preacher is preaching the word, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Members are searching the scriptures to see if these things are so. Acts 17 and verse 11. Just because behind the pulpit, they're not going to embrace it as true. They're going to verify it through a search of the scriptures to make sure it is God's word. That's what happens when we gather together for worship. And it doesn't offend me. It doesn't offend me that you're checking to see if that reference is right. I may miss it by a verse or two, maybe even a chapter or two, and you bring it to my attention, and I'm grateful to you. But it's not offensive to me for you to verify what I'm saying. It makes my day. It's encouraging to me because this is a group of people that are not just going to accept whatever. We're going to accept what God says in His Word. That's the beauty of worship. Just as Jesus found the place where it was written in Luke chapter 4 verse 17, so must we. Don't just embrace it. Don't just say, hey, that guy speaks pretty well. That guy quotes a lot of passages. I can trust him. He's going to know. He's going to tell me the truth. Don't swallow that mentality. Because even the devil knows scripture. Don't embrace that mentality. Don't have that confidence. Search the scriptures and make sure these things are so. You know, with some folks, their favorite words in a sermon are in conclusion. No, I'm not in conclusion yet. But some people are like that. You're just here. They're not connected to God. They're not connected to His Word. They're not connected to the service. They're just waiting for the conclusion. But this is a congregation that is made up of brethren who are thirsty for God's Word. They desire the pure milk of the Word that they may grow thereby, 1 Peter 2, verse 2. They're hungering after righteousness, Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 6, but really the entirety of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12. Members bring their Bibles, read their Bibles, mark their Bibles, memorize their Bibles. They live by their Bibles. And that's encouraging. That's a great delight to hear pages rustle. Last Sunday, a sister nodded. No, not nodded off to sleep. But a sister nodded. And no one except for the preacher even noticed. But a faithful sister nodded in agreement to a point that was made. And this sister, this faithful sister, she would not speak out and say amen like her husband did. And she didn't do so because of the scriptures that said, let your women learn or keep silent in the churches, 1 Corinthians 14:33, that they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive as the law also says. And Paul writes also in 1 Timothy 2:11, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. So yes, she wouldn't shout out amen, but you know what? She encouraged the preacher without even saying a word. Just that smile, that nod of agreement, that encouraged the preacher just as much as when brethren say amen. Nods also help others in the assembly to know that the sermon is expressing not only the preacher's convictions, but their conviction as well. You know, last Lord's Day, a child drew a picture. Yeah, as any parent knows, out of the mouth of babes, many times come profound statements. Out of the mouth of babes. And we find over in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 12 that there were times when God's people were led by a little child. And most congregations They can point to some young people whose example is worth imitating by those who are older. And that's why Paul says, let no one despise your youth. Young people, let no one despise your youth. But be an example to the believers. Be an example in what? In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example. You know, if members can point to the young children and say, there's an example worth following, that means what? People are watching you, people are listening to you, people are observing. And Paul said, let no one despise your youth. Last Sunday, a child was interested enough to draw a picture of what the preacher was talking about. And there's really nothing so unusual about that, especially when there's a PowerPoint presentation and there will one day be a screen, and I'm not used to doing any PowerPoint presentations, but even I can learn to do so. But when it's available, I'll give it an effort. And so when those images are on the screen, it's nothing for children to start writing down and drawing out those images and writing down those words. They may not fully comprehend the concepts. They may not fully comprehend what it is they're drawing, what it is they're writing, but you know what? The seed has been planted. The foundation has been laid. And the color, so to speak, is on the canvas. One day, with proper nurturing, that fruit will ripen, that structure will stand, and the painting will be perfected. You know, I was thinking, even going through some of my late uncle's Bibles and books and lessons and things like that, there were little pieces of paper that were handwritten by cousins of mine. And it made me start to think that you know, these very notes that are written by a child, they may become fresh lessons and sermons for another generation of children. No telling how many preachers and Bible class teachers are having lessons built around little childish letters written on yellowing paper. You never know. Truth, friends, never ages. It just needs to be recycled. Replanted, reseeded, rewatered. You know, last week a Christian worshiped for the first time. A Christian worshiped for the first time. Having been baptized on that Tuesday, a young man was able to offer God acceptable worship for the first time on Sunday. God had cleansed him of his sins and had set him in the church as it pleased him, and watched with interest as this individual bowed his soul in adoration. And if the Lord delays his return, and if the Lord prolongs this Christian's days, this will be one of maybe 10,000 opportunities that he will have to worship God in spirit and in truth. But you know what? There's nothing like maybe the first time. It's all great. It's all wonderful. But maybe there's just something special about that first time. That service was a beautiful step in a long journey. A first note in a grand symphony. You know, last Sunday, we were here to see tears flowed. Tears flowed. Christian love often expresses itself in tears, as it did with Jesus, as it did with his apostles, as it did with the early Christians. You see, brethren, God's word, it has the ability, it is living, it's powerful, it's active, it's able to touch good and honest hearts, and when it touches good and honest hearts, souls respond. Souls respond oftentimes on Sunday, and they're responding to the Lord's invitation. Joyful tears are these tears. Joyful tears, not only in heaven, Luke 15, verse 7, over one sinner that repents, but joyful tears here on earth when one soul repents. When one soul puts on Christ in baptism. You know, as we draw to a close, did all these things happen last Lord's Day? No, not all these things happened, but they could have, and many of them did. And here's the thing I want us to think about. Now, those who may be listening online later, I want you to know this. What has happened today and what's going to happen this day, that's only going to be known to those who are here today. But I want you to think about this. What's going to happen next Sunday, next church service? What's going to happen then? I want you to come and see. Come and be a part of that. Don't let another week go by where someone says to you, you should have seen what happened. Remember, if what was best is no longer possible, what is best is possible. Start coming. Keep coming. And don't let anybody say to you, you should have seen what happened. Unless it's you saying it to someone who's not here. This time we have the opportunity to extend the invitation to those in this assembly. Brethren and friends, this is an opportunity for you to examine yourself. To make sure that you are right and ready for our Lord's return. If God is to send His Son this day, this hour, this moment toward this earth, will you meet Him up in the air? If there are souls here this morning who are not going to meet Him up in the air, you're not baptized into Christ, you are not God's child, you have an opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity to having heard the word, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. You have that opportunity this morning. If you are God's child, you are a baptized believer, but you strayed from the faith, you know what? You're not right and ready for our Lord's return, but you can repent, confess, and be restored. Every soul that walks out of this building today, this very hour, can be right and ready for our Lord's return. And if we can help you in any way, we stand ready to assist. So if you have a need, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and together we sing.